464. Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw on you with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take the insert for the second Sunday of Easter as we chant the intro.
Born infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Make no misdeeds but the people.
infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters
praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Sea creatures and all deeps.
Water and hills, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his work.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Princes and all rulers of the earth.
Now men and maidens together, all men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
Hallelujah.
seen and yet have believed. Alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee.
Confess the Nicene Creed on page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 470. You may be seated.
Lord, we sing.
Today, Lord,
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Earlier in the Gospel of John, we hear the context for today's text. When we read about how Jesus rose from the dead, and Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. And so she ran to the other disciples to tell them what she had seen. And Peter and John, hearing this message, wants to see the tomb for themselves. And so they run there and they see the empty tomb. But they do not remember or understand Jesus' words, because he had told them that he would rise from the dead, but they did not believe. And then we read how Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then she understood that Jesus had risen from the dead. And so she goes to the disciples again and tells them that she saw the risen Lord, but they still did not believe. And so today's text picks up at this point. The disciples are in the upper room of a house behind a locked door because they are afraid of what the non-believing Jews might do to them. And in that context, our Lord appears to them and proclaims his peace, gives them the office of the key so that they could bind and loose sins, and sends them out to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. And our Lord continues to do that in his church today. And he continues to bring the benefits of his cross and resurrection and his peace to us. That is our context for today. We will see what all of this means for us as Christians in today's world as we consider, first, that Jesus rose from the dead as our Lord and God. Then, we will meditate on how the resurrected Christ continues to give gifts to his church. And finally, we will consider our Lord's call to the church to bear witness to his divinity and resurrection. First, let us consider how Jesus rose from the dead as our Lord and God. Jesus had died on the cross, and he was sealed in a dark tomb. But after 3 days, he rose again, just as he told his disciples he would do. His words proved to be true. And by his death on the cross, he demonstrated that he was man. But by his resurrection, he demonstrated that he was our Lord and God, who triumphs over death, that he is the Lord of life. And this is part of the mystery of the Incarnation, that Jesus is God and man. And that is what Thomas wrestles with in today's text, when he refuses to believe the apostles' report that Jesus rose from the dead. If you go home today, you open your Bibles to this section in John 20, you'll probably see the heading that says, Doubting Thomas. That's how we remember this text, is the text with Doubting Thomas. But in reality, Thomas didn't have any less faith than the rest of the apostles. Remember that Mary Magdalene came to all of them and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead, but they did not believe her words. Why? Because St. Thomas and the rest of the disciples knew what it meant for someone to be crucified. They heard the report that Jesus was sent to be flogged. He was whipped and most likely beaten with a cat of nine tails, which was a whip that had pieces of bones or metal added to it, so that when they whipped someone, it would tear out parts of their flesh and leave them a bloody mess. And then they knew that the person who was condemned to be crucified would be forced to carry their own cross as the weight of the wood bore down on their shoulders. And then they were led, in Jesus' case, to the mountain of Golgotha, where they would be bound to the cross, have nails driven into their flesh, and hoisted up for the whole world to see, as they died from exposure and suffering from the lack of oxygen, because the weight of their body would bear down on their lungs, and they would try to lift themselves to capture each last breath. And that is the image that St. Thomas and the rest of the disciples would have had in mind. And so the idea that Jesus would come back from that seemed impossible. People do not come back from the dead. And no one comes back from being crucified by the Romans. No one, that is, except for Jesus. He did come back from the dead. And he came back in a resurrected body because he was fully man. And he overcame the grave's dark prison because he is fully God. Now let us reflect on how the resurrected Christ gives the gifts of peace and forgiveness to his church. Remember, the disciples at this point still do not believe because they have not seen the risen Christ. And because of this disbelief and fear, they are gathered in the upper room of a house behind locked doors for fear of what the non-believing Jews might do to them. Would they arrest them? Would they bring them before the Jewish council to have them flogged and beaten? Or would they hand them over to the Romans as part of Jesus' supposed plot to form an insurrection against the empire? They were probably beginning to think that perhaps Jesus wasn't who he claimed to be after all. And perhaps he couldn't protect them anymore. And it's at that moment, in their doubt, anxiety, and fear, that Christ comes into the locked room. Imagine the scene for a moment. The disciples are gathered together. They are huddling and they are terrified of what their future might hold. When suddenly, their friend and their teacher, the one they had just seen as a bloody mess on the cross and buried in a tomb, is standing there in front of them. At that moment, maybe they thought he was a ghost or a figment of their imagination. If they were scared before, what are they now? And in that moment, our Lord speaks the words of peace to them. He says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them his wounds in his hands and his sides. And the text tells us that his disciples were filled with joy in that moment because that was proof for them that he had truly triumphed over the grave. You see, Jesus doesn't tell them that signs are a bad thing. No, he gives them signs in his promise that he would rise from the dead and in his appearance to them in the upper room. Then he speaks the words of peace to them again. He says, "Peace be with you," a second time. And then he breathes on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld." He gave the disciples his Holy Spirit and his peace, so that what they once feared, persecution and death, would no longer have a hold over them. At that moment, Jesus also gave the gift of the authority to bind and loose sins to his entire church, so that the church can say to those who do not repent, "Your sins are not forgiven, so long as you do not repent." That is not to destroy the person, but it is to show them the gravity of their sin and to draw them to repentance so that they can live. As St. John says in his epistle, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth." Walking in the darkness means to reject the truth of Christ risen from the dead, and to hate and tell lies about our neighbor, to slander them and to gossip about them, as St. John will say later in his epistle. And that is why Jesus gave the church the office of the keys, to withhold forgiveness from the impenitent, and to draw them to repentance, and to forgive the sins of those who come to the Lord in repentance. As Luther says, "As long as we are in the flesh, we will not lie when we say, 'I am a poor, sinful person.'" But it is also true that our Lord has brought us into the light of his faith and life. So how do we walk in this light? We walk in the light by receiving the Lord's gifts, going to church, forgiving those who trespass against us, loving our neighbors, and when we ask the Lord to forgive us our trespasses and to forgive those who have sinned against us. That is the gift that he has given to us, the new life in the gospel, so that when we hear the pastor say, by the command and in the stead of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, we can know that we are forgiven, that we have received this new life in Christ, and that this forgiveness is just as valid and certain before God in heaven as if Christ, our dear Lord, said this to us himself. Finally, let us meditate on the Lord's call to the church to bear witness to his divinity and resurrection. Jesus gave his disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit and the office of the keys so that they could proclaim his peace throughout all the world. And then he sends them out to bear witness to him. They had received the gift of the Holy Spirit and the courage they needed to testify to the truth of the gospel. They no longer needed to fear what the Romans or the Jews might do to them, because they knew the one who had already overcome sin and death in the world, and who has given us new and unending life. Later on in the account, Jesus appears to St. Thomas, and when St. Thomas saw Jesus in his wounds, he fell down and cried out, "My Lord and my God." The one we know as Doubting Thomas is the one who gave the great confession of faith when he proclaims the Lord as his Lord and God. He knew that only God could raise the dead, and that only the Lord could come back from being crucified. Yet again, the wounds and the words of Christ prove that he had died and rose from the dead, and that he was the Lord of life. The very same life that St. John testifies to when he says, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us." St. Thomas saw this life when the Lord appeared to him, and showed him his wounds, in his hands and his side, and said, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." And then the Lord extended his commission to all 11 remaining disciples to send them out into the world to proclaim his peace to all nations. And we know from tradition that St. Thomas went all the way to India to proclaim the gospel. And we know from the scriptures that St. James and St. Peter stayed in Jerusalem and proclaimed the gospel there, and that later, St. Peter went out to Rome to continue to proclaim the gospel so that all the worlds could hear the good news of Christ, who is our Lord and God, who brings us peace. And this mission is continued in the church today, because we have been given the same hope and courage that the apostles had. That is not to say that the apostles were never afraid, or that we will never lack courage. The apostles and all Christians wrestle with the reality that we are human, and so we are afraid of suffering and death. Yet, we, just as the apostles knew, know that even if we suffer for the faith, in loss of home or privileges or friends or family or possessions or life, our Lord has already overcome the grave and has overcome the world as well. Jesus, our Lord and God, sends us out as messengers of peace so that we, like the apostles and disciples in our reading from Acts, can live together, proclaiming the message of God's word to all nations in great boldness and joy, and sharing all things so that no one has any lack, but loving each other in our Lord's word and truth, as we are sent out as messengers of the Lord's peace. Though we have not seen our Lord with our own eyes, We have heard the testimony of his eyewitnesses in the reading of the Holy Gospel. As St. John writes, these things were written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing, we may have life in his name. Because St. John and the other disciples were eyewitnesses of Jesus. They heard his message, they saw him risen from the dead, and they touched the Lord with their own hands. They provide us with this witness so that we can believe. We are those who are blessed because we have not seen, and yet we have believed. Because we have all the proof that we need in the eyewitness testimony of the holy apostles. So we believe and confess that Jesus died as the propitiation for all our sins. And not just our sins, but the sins of the whole world. That is to say, that Jesus died to reconcile the world to its triune Lord, so that we could be one with him and with one another. Jesus was there on the cross, bearing the sins of the world. His wounds are how we are healed. He wore a crown of thorns. His body became a bloody mess beyond recognition. And the Romans bound him to the cross and drove nails into his hands and feet. And the soldier pierced his side with a spear. And according to John's gospel, blood and water flowed from Jesus' wounded side. The church has always seen the sacraments in that image, so that the water which cleanses us in holy baptism is seen in the wounded side of Christ. And the blood that we receive in the Lord's Supper is the blood that our Lord shed for us on the cross. But not only that, we recognize our risen Lord in our eating. In Luke's account of the resurrection, Jesus was walking on the Emmaus Road with his disciples, telling them about all that the Christ would have to endure to save his people. And then they sat down to eat. And Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And the disciples recognized their risen Lord in their eating and in the breaking of bread, just as we do at the Lord's altar, where our resurrected Lord continues to come to us and proclaim his peace to us as our Lord and God. So that at the end of the service, we can say, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all people. Because our Lord has prepared his presence and salvation for us through his cross and resurrection, and continues to speak his peace to us in the midst of all our afflictions, anxieties, and trials. He goes out with us into the world with his peace and blessing. In our gospel account, St. Thomas failed to believe the witness of his fellow disciples when they said that they had seen the resurrected Christ. But when he saw the wounds of Christ, he cried out, "My Lord and my God!" St. Thomas had the great confession of faith in our text, because Jesus' wounds were proof that he died on the cross and rose from the dead and overcame death and the devil through the cross. And so now the church continues to bear witness to the resurrected Christ, who is our Lord and God. And as our Lord and God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the gospel that the church continues to proclaim to the entire world, the gospel which proclaims the peace of Christ, who is the life of the world. Let us praise Jesus, our Lord and God, who brings us his peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Page 192, we stand to sing the offertory. Please fill out the ritual of friendship and put it in the basket and the narthex as you leave, and your offerings at the plate at the door. You may be seated for the voluntary. Prayer of the Church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins and to be raised for our justification. During these 50 days of Easter, by your Holy Spirit, grant us a newness of life, that by the power of Christ's resurrection, we may dwell with him forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty and everlasting God, you called us to be your children and heirs of your gracious promises in Christ Jesus, and to bear witness through the Holy Spirit to all the world the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless Pastor Vance Becker and his wife Linda Becker, a pastor and a deaconess, who serve at Matango Lutheran College in Kenya, as they teach adults and children Christ, the gospel of Christ that saves them and saves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you call your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading and your love supporting. To that end, continue to bless Trinity Lutheran as one family, as a church and early child care center, campus ministry and Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, Lutheran Women's Missionary League. In all that we do, your hand would lead us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
You call us into the various vocations and callings, and strengthen us in our witness to the world. Bless Chris and Karen Ladislaw as they celebrate their wedding anniversary, and bless all those who celebrate their baptism in Christ and their birthday. Pastor Josh Welmer, Niels Brandsberg, Bridget Collins, Tony Sendelbach, Ruth Barnes, Adam Harper, Stan Sendelbach, Heidi Franklin, Tori Sendelbach, Kurt Nairns, and Stephen Hoover. Lord, in your mercy, by your loving hand, O Lord, guide all those who serve in our country and nation. Grant, O Lord, that you watch over those governing authorities, that we may live in peace and quietness. May your holy angels protect those who serve in the armed forces of our country. Courtney Tate, Alex Laffin, and Emily Shelton, Danny Green, Kevin Stevenson, Charles Gaither, Mike Gobble, and Ricardo Fatanga. Lord, in your mercy, risen Lord, you, the physician of soul and body, we ask that you bring the pandemic and fear to an end, and also restore us as you guide doctors and medical personnel all around the world. And this week, blessed with healing, Chris Ladisaw, John Ajuk, Candy Darmody, Don Riley, Jack Tarver, Jill Tarver, Sue Eby, Valerie Huntley, John Stair, and Manfred Grisowski. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Service of Sacraments, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is he that Christ unto him.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed them, and by his rising again he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
take us to make us.
away from the life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Dominus, page 199, we stand to sing.
Upon you and give you peace.